Hi, I'm Kristen.
And I'm her little brother, William.
We're from the podcast Guide to the Unknown, where we only talk about scary stuff and have a good time doing it.
Come join the scary fun, everyone.
Wherever you get your podcasts, you'll find Guide to the Unknown.
Welcome back to another mailbag.
You don't do that anymore?
He left you hanging out.
I'm sorry. I'm just reading.
Don't read. No, you gotta listen. Don't read in advance.
I just saw Bob's socks and I'm like, oh, all right.
No, we're gonna.
I can't wait to get to that one.
Don't read in advance. Another mailbag.
Mailbag. There you go.
We are here answering mail and now voicemails as well. And so if you'd like to reach out to the show, let us know your thoughts on the movies. Let us know what you think of our opinions, if you disagree, whatever. All those times you scream into your phone or your dashboard or whatever while you're listening. Now just pick up the phone, call 262-757-8567. Save us as a contact. That number is also in the show notes. You can see it there.
Wow.
And call us and scream about it.
We have a phone now?
We do. We have a hotline.
We have a hotline.
Yes.
Yes. Uh-huh.
So we're going to get things kicked off here. And we don't know who these are because they come in. There's no caller ID. It's just numbers. So we get to find out as we go. Let's get right to the phone lines.
Wow.
If it's good and everything I give you is gold. No, I'm just messing around. I don't know. Born or three, I call this thing. I am seriously enjoying cruising the streets of L.A. and I've been in traffic for about an hour now and I've gone 1.2 miles.
Oh.
And, yeah, I just didn't know what else to do. So I figured I'd call and bug you guys. Guys, you never should have given us this number.
Right. No, yeah, never should have gave out a number.
Sound,
I agree.
I'll tell you. Sound advice.
Good luck with traffic, buddy. I'm sorry. I hope you got home.
I think
okay.
That's Eric. He's talking about cruising around LA.
He is from LA. Yeah.
And so I'm assuming that's Eric Velov over there. And if that's the case, we love hearing from you, Eric. And dude, I'm sorry you've got to drive around in freaking LA because that sounds terrible.
Yeah. Yeah.
A mile and a half in an hour. Is that what he said?
Ugh.
I don't know.
Yep. I refuse. I spent 5 days in LA and I refuse to ever live there.
Were either you on the Blind Fury episode?
No, I was not. No,
sir. Are you familiar with Blind Fury?
Yeah, it's a Rutger Hauer
movie. Rutger Hauer movie. Chris Shameless writes in here and he goes, just re-listened to Blind Fury and wanted to give you a heads up on an underrated later Rutger Hauer film. Three things. One, it's filmed in my hometown of Halifax, Nova Scotia, which is also the home of NHL icon Sidney Crosby and a legendary adult film star Peter North. Okay, I'm glad we know that.
There we go.
You okay, Bob? He's like, oh man, I haven't heard Peter North in 45 minutes. It co-stars a few people from the iconic Canadian show Trailer Park Boys, which is also based from Halifax. And it, like Machete, was created based on a faux trailer from Tarantino's Grindhouse.
Oh.
It's called Hobo with a Shotgun. Yeah, you knew where this was going.
Yeah.
65% on Rotten Tomatoes, a 6.1 on IMDb. It made $3 million. It was made for $3 million, but only made $800K in theaters. Does it qualify? I'd say that's a borderline, but Hobo with a Shotgun just feels like a movie we should probably do on the show. Have you seen it?
Yes.
Is it?
It's well deserving to be on the show. And now I'm going to point something out.
Okay.
Quentin Tarantino did not create Grindhouse. It was co-wrote with Robert Rodriguez.
No.
Get that out of there. No, all right?
I think he's saying it was created based on a fake trailer from Grindhouse.
Yes. Tarantino's Grindhouse.
Yes.
Bullshit. It's Tarantino and Robert Rodriguez's Grindhouse. Okay.
It's both of them.
Did you see The Grindhouse, James?
Yeah.
Like The Grindhouse Experience.
Yeah. I went to the double feature.
Went to the double feature.
I went with Bob.
Nice. Nice.
It was the best part was the trailers.
The trailers were the best.
Trailers were great. Yeah.
Most of those movies have happened now at this point.
I know.
So I will definitely try and get Hubba with a Shotgun out here.
That was what the guys, they had done a contest. Tarantino and Rodriguez issued a contest to filmmakers. And they came. Some Hubba with a Shotgun.
That's all
was
Thanksgiving.
Like the winning.
Thanks, Eli Roth's Thanksgiving was in the trailer.
That's yes, Michael Biehn. And that's a movie coming out
right now
this year.
It's already out.
It's out in theaters. Yeah. And I haven't got a chance to
Eli
see
Roth
it,
so. Finally made Thanksgiving after 16 years.
I'm still upset that it's Patrick flipping Dempsey, not Michael Biehn.
Yeah. But.
Let's go back to the phone lines.
Six mailbags. I've been waiting for my response to Bob's letter. It was touching. It was heartfelt. It reached me, but nothing. And now I kind of get worried because it's like, oh, it seems like Bob shut my mouth. He didn't shut my mouth. I thought it was hilarious. That was funny. By the way, Bob, red strawberry watermelon, that's my victory. Clint, and I cannot believe I'm going to say this. Out of respect for Bob, I do not write or rewrite anything I put down. I just put down it on paper and leave it at that. I'm already far ahead of him. I don't need to cheat to beat the one-legged man in an athlete contest. I know I didn't send who I was the last time I was on here because of the fact that I was in traffic. I was irritated, and I was just ranting and raging about sitting in traffic for 2.5 hours to go 7 miles. 7 miles. 2.5 hours. You take 4 lanes and convert them into one because you're expanding the freeway to add more lanes. I don't understand it. But whatever. It makes me feel good to see the sign that says my tax dollars at work for a project that is taking 7, 8, now 9 years to be complete. So sometime in 2030...
What is he talking about? He's talking about the freeway project in LA.
All right, I got to pause Eric for a second here. What is he complaining about?
The freeway project.
I don't give a crap about the freeway in LA, Eric. All right? Walk. Get a bike. Freaking ride a bike. I don't care.
Move to Wisconsin.
Move to Wisconsin. Dude, who would live in California on purpose?
Canadians.
There will be expanded 2 extra lanes.
Don't care.
But I digress. So anyway, this is a rubber lover reaching out because I didn't hear my response to Bob, and I know probably just got lost in all the other things that I sent off. I also sent off a list of names for James since he didn't have a nickname, and he actually deserves one. This man, like, does so much.
Oh, I just now I feel bad. I feel bad now that I was just being mean to him. And he's... All right. All right, Eric. Tell me about the freeway.
Besides all the adulation and $10 a month that we give him anyway. And there's probably some people who give him more than that. I want to know, has anybody done the full Dudikoff?
Yes, we had one person that did sign up for the full Dudikoff, which was the $100 a month tier.
That's awesome.
And they did it for about 8 months before, which was about 7 months longer than I thought.
Yeah.
Because once you sign up for the full Dudikoff, you get to pick an episode once a year where we don't even get to vote. It's literally just you're doing this movie and it happens. And so my anticipation was that they signed up for the month, put their submission in, and then it was up. But actually, they kept doing it for like 8 months.
That's beautiful.
No, it was awesome.
Yeah,
very, very appreciative of that. That was huge.
Who does the full Dudikoff? Anyway, guys, enjoy the show. Keep up the good work. I'll send you guys some stuff in the mail. If I actually physical, I'll try and get some cookies out. I'm actually trying to figure out a way to get in and out to Bob.
Oh.
Because I want to get it there, but I don't want it to be, like, taking days to do so. So if I can figure out to get it, still kind of, like, somewhat edible. I mean, In-N-Out the next day is still kind of cool, but it's not as good as In-N-Out same day. So I'll work on that. Anyway, take care from the rubber lover.
I can definitely say I'm going to get a cookie.
Eric's going to send you some In-N-Out burger, dude, if you can figure it out.
Dude, I would love that.
That's awesome.
I think it's going to be laced with something.
That's the nicest email message that I've ever
heard. Thank you, Eric.
Meet him halfway.
Come on, man.
They don't want me in California.
We got a face turn right here, a face turn from Eric Valov.
That's awesome. Thank you, sir.
Meet in like the hills of Denver or something.
Yeah. Do it, man.
You can come with me, Frank.
Yeah.
We got an email from James Stanley, the milkman, writing back in again. He goes, "Hello, BMR crew. I'm going to try to keep this short. First off, Ford Fairlane, Rock and Roll Detective, starring Andrew Dice Clay."
Oh, that was the one I was trying to think of.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's why he's answering here. No need to see if it meets the requirement. It does. Bob says what I'm thinking. That's what he's got.
What?
He's just saying that you always say what he's thinking. He's throwing you a compliment.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Mummer and his puns are great. Lastly, I'm a milkman. I work overnights delivering milk to customers' doors, and every Friday for 2 hours or so, you guys and gals help me deal with the 8 hours of working alone at night. Bob, as you know, I got in contact with that Arnold impersonator, and now I'm setting my sights even higher for the BMR crew. All I'm saying for now is I'll be back.
Nice.
Sincerely, the milkman.
Well, keep milking those milk cows, but
yeah, that was great.
Keep milking the cows.
I keep
James Stanton.
Damn it.
No, it's good, dude. I think a lot of people out there probably
have a nice pair of breasts to go home to milk.
I think most people probably feel like the milkman here and that you say a lot of what they're thinking. So I think that's good. That's awesome. And Kurt and his puns will be back soon. You might have noticed Kurt has been absent from the show here for a couple of months. Took some time to be with the family, but Kurt's actually going to be coming back to the show in early January. So that's something to look forward to as
Heck
well.
Yeah, I'm so happy that he's coming back.
Pumped about that.
Very happy.
Let's head back to the phones.
This is Bill Gersten.
All right.
KDMR crew calling for a vitally important reason.
Oh.
Letting you know. The proper way to pronounce my name is Bill Gersten, not Bill Gertzen.
Ah,
so
dang
now
it.
You guys have no excuse for getting it wrong.
That's fair.
This will probably be the only voicemail you'll get from me.
This guy writes in a ton, so we've read a lot of his emails, but I always say Gertzen because his name is spelled, it looks like it's Gertzen. But
Bill Gersten.
Gersten.
Gersten. Gersten.
Gersten.
Sounds like a nice guy.
Gertzen. Super nice guy.
Bill Gersten.
I wasn't even planning on sending one because I already sent you an email. And I'd rather hear James read what I said than hear myself say it.
Oh, I gotcha.
Have a great day.
Oh, Bill, you've got a great voice. What are you
Bill,
talking
you're
about,
awesome.
Man?
Just pull it out of your mouth every now and then. You're good to go.
You're good, dude. Just let it roll.
I'm joking. Thank you for calling.
Look, Bob apologizes in advance.
I have to,
because sometimes I have to say, I'm going to let you know. I'm going to say some really horrific stuff. I'm sorry.
Gersten, which we have an email from him in a minute here. We're going to go to, so he's going to get a double dip here on the mailbag.
All right.
This email comes in from Mike Morbid. He says, I'm going through your episodes currently on Scared Stupid, Ernest Scared Stupid. Great movie. And there's one very important question that you have not asked. Would Arnold Schwarzenegger make this podcast better? Yes, obviously. The answer, of course, is yes. He would be perfect as James's microphone. What?
What?
What does that even mean?
I don't know what that means.
It's a giant Arnold head, like, facing.
I'm going to talk right into my mouth. He goes, imagine it. Arnold's best sultry voice saying, talk to me. Fill me with your beautiful words. Do it now. This would certainly get your show the Nobel, and the money would rain down upon you. But I have one movie suggestion. The Return of Captain Invincible. My sales pitch is simple. It has a scene with Christopher Lee trying to tempt a superhero to drink through the power of song. It has been the most excellent show so far. Thank you. And a kiss of the thumb to you all. Yes, with a Megaforce kiss. Thank you, buddy. I appreciate that, man. Mike Morbid, great email, dude. If there's a movie where Christopher Lee's trying to tempt a superhero to drink by singing him a song, I'm down for it.
Yeah.
I don't think I need any more convincing other than that. We'll make sure the Return of Captain Invincible is on the list.
Man, Christopher Lee.
I love that guy.
Classic.
Dude.
Classic.
I
right
love
there.
It. Let's head back to the phone lines and see. Well, I'm starting to get scared.
Wow.
I'm starting to get scared here.
Bob sucks. He really, really sucks. Oh, Bob sucks. He really, really sucks. Bob, you don't suck. You're awesome. You know who does suck? Your brother,
what?
James.
What?
James, you're a hypocrite. You lie and you try to act all modest, saying things like,
what?
Oh, we're the worst podcast ever. You're full of shit. You guys are amazing. This is the greatest podcast ever, and you are 100% correct. Bad movies rule. I love you guys.
Oh, well, all right. He had me in the first half, I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
Then he button-hooked me. I didn't know he was going to button-hook me.
He hooked you in.
All right. He went from saying both of us suck,
yeah,
and I was like, yo, hey, that's fine. Somebody wants to call in. Say we suck, but I appreciate whoever that was.
That was awesome.
Thank you.
That was so funny.
Whoever you are.
It's hilarious.
Shout out, yes.
Shout out. We got to get somebody to come call and sing a song about Ryan Farrell.
He hasn't seen Django Unchained.
Oh, no, that's all right.
Yeah.
Ryan sucks. He hasn't seen Django. Ryan.
He loves Running Scared.
Ryan
and Wayne sucks. Kramer.
He gets mad about weird things.
Yes, he does.
And why?
No reason.
All right.
Hey.
Bill Gersten, did I say it right that time?
I don't know.
No.
Sounded funny.
Gersten.
Send another voicemail, sir.
He said, hey guys, I noticed you or Mel never got back to me about how Arnold would make Freddy Got Fingered better. It's because I don't want to talk about that movie anymore.
Mel Vandy took you to see that movie.
Mel Vandy took me to made him and Brady. I walked out halfway through it. I didn't even finish it. I said, I'll meet you guys in the front. Come back when you're done.
Could you just imagine Schwarzenegger singing, Daddy, would you like some sausage?
Oh, okay. No. Daddy. I can't even do it. I'm not even gonna justify it. No. In spite of that, I finally figured out how Arnold can make it better. It's so simple that I'm surprised I didn't think of it sooner. During the whole movie, while everything is going on, have Arnold stand in front of the camera and do poses, say nothing the whole time. That would be far more entertaining than what happens in the movie. He's got three movie recs for it. I'm going to make sure all of these get added to the list, but I want to talk about one just because we're on a time crunch here. The first is Street Hunter from 1990. Though I have not watched it yet, I have to recommend to you the moment I noticed that Steve James plays the main character in it. He's not a side character.
That's awesome.
He's the main character, and that is enough of a reason to have it on the list no matter what. The other two is Demolitionist in 95 and Phoenix the Warrior. Phoenix the Warrior from 88. So we'll take a look at both of those as well, man. But appreciate you writing in, Bill. And those are some recs that are definitely, I don't think any of them are on the list. So I'll make sure that they all are as we get through. Cool. Bill, I just want to say, I appreciate how active you are, man, in emailing, calling, all that stuff. We appreciate the people that connect with us. And
absolutely.
And if you haven't done it yet, don't be afraid. Call or email, man. We'd love to hear from you and see what you guys have to say. We're going to head back to the phones.
Hey, guys. Chris Cordray here. I was going to leave some messages on the Discord, but I am driving. Thought this was a good option. First off, the guy from L.A. who's stuck in traffic, who was telling us everything that was going on, didn't leave his name. That was awesome. Awesome. Now it's a mystery. I wonder where he's at, what he's doing. But I just got done with the Resident Evil episode. So I was thinking merchandise, shirt. What would Uncle Tito do? I think that would be a big seller. Next up, Bob gets to say on air, rub one out. Where was Dana on that editing? I know James edits right next to Dana. I can't believe that one wasn't caught.
All right. Yeah. So that's a fair point, and I'll just accept that. And we'll move on.
I think 10% of my material is bleeped or censored some way. But, good for Bob. And last but not least, on that episode, I think the Human Movie Database said that he was shot with a nail gun on set but still worked for 7.5 hours. And, you know, that was a flex. But my question is, why couldn't he finish that last half hour? Why couldn't he put in the full 8 hours that everybody else was doing?
So to answer the question, it was a full 8 hours. I worked for 30 minutes, then shot myself with the nail gun, then worked for 7.5 hours.
Fair enough.
Well, anyways, I just passed the place that's custom cake, but with a Z. I'll have to try that out.
Custom.
All right, everybody. Cakes. Have a great day. Bye.
Chris, Chris brings it every time, but we appreciate
Awesome. Awesome.
Honestly, guy. Thank you, brother.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good question.
Okay, so the next email comes in from Ricky Mock. Because of your minisode about Predator the musical, something's out there. Oh, man.
That's great.
Oh, man.
I watched Total Recall the musical, and it made me think of something I never noticed. Rachel, is it Ticotin from Total Recall, and Maria Conchita Alonso from Running Man are almost identical / interchangeable. Could the Running Man be a sequel to Total Recall? You could almost make Total Recall connect to anything because it was all a dream.
Mm.
Or was it? I don't know. Would you ever fall into the camp of it was really happening or he was in recall?
I have to rewatch it again.
I
think it's obvious. In my opinion, I don't know.
Obvious, but in which way?
That he's in recall.
That he's in recall and it's not really happening.
I think so. But
yeah, I think I've never been able to make up my mind.
I think it's kind of funny though, because I've heard a fan theory. I've read fan theories about Running Man and Total Recall though could be kind of in the same universe, so to speak. But
interesting.
Yeah, it's been a while since I've seen Running Man.
Running Man would have to be after though. I think.
Yeah.
Which, let's just say it. Why speculate? Let's just say it is a sequel.
Yeah. Yeah.
There you go.
Just like Pulp Fiction is a sequel to Reservoir Dogs.
Yes, they are.
I have to go back and watch Pulp Fiction again.
Yeah.
Watch Pulp Fiction, watch Total Recall again, too. Consider that it's a divorce. It's such a great moment. Get ready for a surprise, lady with the freaking exploding head.
Yeah.
It's awesome. Next email comes in from Nick Munns. He says, hey guys, it's me again. Thanks for the mail call for Balls of Fury. Just so you all know, movies rated higher, LOL. But here I am again with a terrible movie that one of you, that will have one of you laughing. Since Matthew Perry just passed and I didn't want to only be remembered for Friends, so I figured I had to do a bad movie that rules. It's a movie called Almost Heroes. Do you guys ever see that?
Oh,
that's Chris Farley.
Farley's last movie.
I just
movie.
Bought that.
It's his last movie, right?
That's Chris Farley's last movie.
I've never seen it.
Yeah, it's his last full movie because I know Dirty Work's his last movie.
It's 5.7 on IMDb and a 5 on Rotten Tomatoes. A 5%.
A 5%.
Wow.
Yeah, this movie. It's good fun. It's dumb.
It is.
It's for me. Chris Farley, obviously, I mean, is great in it because he's Chris Farley. So I mean,
yeah.
But yeah, it's dumb fun.
Worth doing on the show.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Okay.
I think Beverly Hills Ninja is a better film than Almost Heroes.
Yeah, I saw that in the theater and never again.
Never again?
I would watch it again. I just never watched it again.
Beverly Hills Ninja, I enjoy.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's a much better quality
film. Check it out.
That's funny. I saw Beverly Hills Ninja in theaters too.
There you go.
Yeah.
We got a quick email here from Eric Keller. Eric Keller writes in and says, I felt like Bob. I was watching Evil Dead Rise. And I hated the little girl actress in the movie.
I haven't seen Evil Dead Rise yet. It's on my list.
Now you have a crappy child actress to look forward to.
Another one.
Son of a bitch.
Another one.
They keep coming back.
Not only would a trash can full of dirt would have been better, but getting rid of the character completely would have made the movie better. Love the show.
We just need to get rid of child actors and just do AI actors. We just need to, like, CGI, AI.
CGI child actors.
Okay, just lifeless, uncanny valley.
Yes, because that's all they are. They're cannon fodder for action movies.
He says, I love you guys. You guys revitalized my love of movies. Eric, thanks,
hey,
man.
All right.
Spend enough time with the human database, you'll be looking for the nearest window to jump out of.
Hold on.
Sorry, Ryan.
No, Bob literally went through a window on my behalf, so.
Oh, that's true.
And drywall a couple times.
Where is it?
That was an accident.
Wait, one more email and one more voicemail here, so here we go.
Hey, Mark Rue. It's Jack. I washed the yoga hosiers in preparation for the episode like a moron a couple of weeks ago. I even pulled the Discord and they tried to warn me how bad this movie was going to be, and I just didn't listen. But now, I've watched this stupid movie and I have the same opinion everybody else is. This movie is terrible. Not even Johnny Depp and Kevin Conroy could save it. There's just so many things wrong with it.
It's terrible.
But of all the terrible things in this movie, there's one I can't stop thinking about. It's a stupid sausage stuffing scene. I don't think anybody involved in the production of this piece of crap movie understands how sausages are made, which is wild considering one of the main plot points of this movie is literal walking and talking Nazi bratwurst. Zero research was done here. This is a massive failure.
You don't say, Jack.
They have an actual setup you can use to stuff sausages with, which is a meat grinder with a tube attached that you could put the casings on so you could crank out some sausages. They literally could have made sausages with this actual setup that they have on camera. But instead, they just ran the already grinded up brassy meat or whatever the hell it was through the meat grinder into a bowl or whatever without going into actual sausage casings. Then,
Jack, let's just get in the weeds on sausage making. I'm all for this. Keep going, please.
This is awesome.
To watch the head Nazi moron just try and hand stuff the sausage casings like a damn savage. Thanks for making me watch this awful movie. The stupid thing is going to be stuck in my head way longer than it should be. Kevin Smith should abandon making films after this. Enjoy your journey tomorrow.
Sorry about that.
Look, thanks, Jack.
Have you ever met a sausage-making hobbyist?
No.
They take it very seriously.
Obviously, they do. I didn't know that about Jack, but good God. That's all. Dude, thank you for writing in. We got to wrap this up with one email here from Ranger Hicks.
Oh, yeah.
We love Ranger Hicks, and when he reaches out and he says, hey, James and the rest of you knuckleheads, I like to say I've been taking it easy since my last email, but my grandpa always told me never to lie to people I respect. And I was certain that my moment to relax was approaching now that I'm done with my volunteer work. Holy hardtack, was I wrong. I'd like to tell you that you guys helped me through another busy point of work, but I'm afraid that things happened, and for once in my life, I didn't feel like laughing. I will tell you about it, and if you guys want to help me, you would put a smile on this ranger's face, and if you can't, I understand. But before this panel of a guy and several howling monkeys help me, let me regale you with a story. December 2009, your boy was stuck working New Year's Eve. At the time, I was mad, but considering I was on a first-name basis with Jim Beam and Jack Daniels, probably wasn't for the best. I was alone in my apartment. 2:30 a.m. rolled around, and I was sitting behind the desk, basically collecting a paycheck while watching District 9. He used to work the front desk at a hotel.
Okay.
The intercom rings. I begrudgingly accept my fate that it's time to put the customer service voice on and buzz him in. And all of a sudden, this 360-pound man wearing nothing but a sash, diaper, flip-flops, and a top hat enters my lobby. He stumbles. Clearly, Big Baby New Year's was hitting more than the milk bottle tonight. I ask him, what can I do? He coos at me. Room, please. I ask myself, is he going to talk like this the entire check-in process? And he was. I gave him the rates. He doesn't care. He digs into his diaper to pull out a Velcro wallet, gives me his ID and credit card. I'm thankful I didn't have to touch that wallet. While I'm keying him in, Baby Huey sees our fishbowl, where we offer people a chance for a free night if they leave their business card. And he goes, oh, I love Fruity Pebbles, shoves his hand into the bowl and knocks it off onto the ground, shattering it into pieces, puts the gravel in his mouth, and then spits them at me while realizing it's not cereal.
Wow. That's grounds for throat chopping.
I've about had it now, but I keep my patience. I type faster. I get him to sign his registration card, which he just draws a penis on the signature line, and then I give him his key. And he asks me to guide him because he's too drunk to walk. I put him in the handicap room by the lobby. I lead him there. I open his door, and I say, get in, Tommy boy. He laughs and says, you're funny. And he shoves his hands down the front of his pants. My eyes go immediately wide. I want no part of what's about to happen. He pulls out a $20 bill. James, I want to tell you I was too proud to take it. This $20 bill that stunk like sweaty balls and Jägermeister. But $20 is $20. You bet your ass I took that money. Now that I've told you my tale, allow me to explain why I haven't been willing to laugh at work. Admittedly, the boss has been running me ragged. I spend more days making box forts in a warehouse than I do pushing papers. And one day my boss calls me and says, Hicks, your coworkers are complaining you stink. I accept the facts. I'm busting ass in the warehouse. And immediately I'm not using Lady Speed Stick. I go, okay, I can fix it. I spend $80 getting the best smelling soap, deodorant, shampoo, and cologne. I even start moisturizing. There are days I walk by my neighbor and even he's like, you take a new job as a stripper or what? Maybe it's malicious compliance. Maybe I'm just mad, but in my opinion, I figured I could drown my coworkers in the scent of bourbon and oak. It had to be better than the smell of a man who spends 6 hours loading pallets with boxes of bound paperwork. There even came a point that I actually was feeling confident of my smell, and I was like, I smell freaking great. I wish people they smelled like me. And no sooner than 3 days after I'm doing this, my boss brings me back and says my coworkers are still telling him that I stink like ass. Not the cologne, not the soap. They're still smelling me. And hearing that just made me lose all confidence in myself. It sucks to be the stinky guy at work. So here's my question to the panel. Because this is what I would like to hear. Have you guys ever had a moment in your life where you were like, oh, there's no denying I'm awesome, and then suddenly something just took the wind out of your sails and you couldn't get your confidence back? Like, I get it. You guys aren't Dear Abby or Ann Landers, and I shouldn't be coming to you for advice, but I respect the hell out of you, even Clint. And part of me just thinks that maybe if I hear that people I respect also got their confidence taken from them when they're at a low point, then maybe I can bounce back from the sudden crisis of identity. I appreciate you guys. I hope you like my story. And just so you know, I've been slowly getting back into listening. I almost finished Terminator Salvation, and I am certain that if Ryan loves Christian Bale so much, maybe he should have married him. Thank you for hearing me out, Ranger.
Thank you, Ranger.
Well, man, that's just a crappy situation, dude. But do you guys have thoughts? I mean, has that ever happened to you?
Yeah, every day.
You're the stinky guy every day. I don't smell you.
You know, no, it's like you lose your confidence. It could happen to anybody. It sucks.
I think you got to go with, instead of Lady Speed Stick, switch over to Secret Lavender Vanilla.
Lavender Vanilla Secret.
Yeah, I used to wear Secret Lavender Vanilla when I was a teenager.
Yeah, dude, here's what I'll say. There have been days, and
you want to know why?
Why?
Because women love it.
Oh, I didn't mean to cut you off. There was more to this.
When I was 18 years old.
You want to smell like a girl because women love it?
I used to wear women's deodorant, and chicks used to talk to me.
Oh, and look
at it. And they used to confide in me.
Look how that worked for you.
And that gave me confidence.
There you go. All right. So Ryan's advice is smell like a woman.
Keep swinging.
Here's what Bob says. Keep swinging.
F everybody else.
Here's what I'll say.
Yeah.
I have had lots of days where I'm riding high. I love what I get to do. I love we get to do this show. But unfortunately, part of my job is the guy that has to kind of run the ship. And I need engagement online in order to drive more people to be able to see our stuff online, which hopefully drives people to the show. I have to read the comments. People say, don't read the comments, right? But one of the ways they'll bump you out to more people is if you respond to comments and it drives engagement. So I have to read almost everything that comes in on our videos, all the comments that come in on the episodes or our clips on YouTube or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so I want to talk about having confidence shaken. I know I've shared with you guys before. Since I started doing this show, I used to feel pretty great about myself. I mean, I'm not like an in-shape dude, but I'm also not just a giant person either. I'm not the whale. I'm not Brendan Fraser in The Whale, right? No. But dude, I have never, over the last year and a half, been called fat in 100 different flavors than I have since I started doing this show. And there's absolutely been moments where I've started to feel terrible about myself, or I'm having a great day and I'll open the comment section. And yeah, 95% of it is love, right? And like, we appreciate everybody that's out there saying good things, and that's awesome. But then you catch the one that like calls me slop neck or,
yeah,
tubs or whatever. And it's everyone's go-to. It's their go-to insult.
Yeah.
They don't like what I said about Terminator, so I'm a fatty. They don't like what I said about this, or I ripped on, or I said Wesley Snipes' best movie was Demolition Man.
I thought Mayonnaise Eater.
I said that. I'm like, well, yeah. Keep my ass, guys.
I'm just saying, like, yeah. Dude, I've had my confidence rocked since coming on this show, because once you put anything out there, the internet gets its chance to respond, and 95% of it's been great, but man, there's always those people that are just like, you're a piece of crap. You look like a piece of crap. You're fat. I mean, dude, I've got days where I felt terrible about myself, but like Bob says, screw them.
Yeah, screw them.
I love that. Let's touch base on that, because I find it hilarious that you butt-licking camel f***ers are always going to my brother's fat, or anybody on the show is fat, or a bag of chips wouldn't last long. Guess what, you sons of f***ers? It wouldn't last long, because we like bags and chips. We like good food. Sorry, yeah, I don't do CrossFit. Sorry, I don't count calories. Sorry, right. Sorry, I live my life. I'm here for a good time, not a long time. Stop worrying about your immortality and go get f***ed. Good night.
Ranger, I hope that's helpful, man. We love you, brother. And look, dude, don't worry about it, man. Just keep, I mean, obviously do what you can to handle, you know, yourself if there's something you can do. But it sounds like you did everything that you could reasonably do.
Like the fact that you spent $80 on deodorant,
and you're working a hard job busting your ass.
Like, if someone says they smell me, good. It means I'm working.
You're hauling pallets and stuff. Come on.
Yeah. If someone says, you stink, and I move furniture. So if someone came up to me and said I smelled, I would tell them, like, well,
I work for a living.
Right. I work for a living.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
Sorry.
So don't ever be apologizing for working for a living, man. Just keep doing your thing, brother. We love you. And we love everybody. And there's lots of voicemails and mail. We have a big backlog, because I was gone for 2 weeks and we didn't get a mailbag out when we usually do. So if I didn't get to your calls or emails, I'm going to in the next one. We're going to do another one here real quick. So there's going to be a couple that come out quickly. I apologize. We're going to get to everybody, but I just appreciate everybody writing in. Call the number, send us an email. This show is trash at gmail.com, and we'll catch you on the next one. Thank you, guys. With the women and the heroes and the villains getting stoned by
Murder in America is a true crime podcast that covers stories from all 50 states, including stories of mass shootings, serial killers, and lesser-known murders. Do you find yourself doing more research after listening to a true crime show? Well, Courtney and I used to do the same thing, and that's why we created Murder in America. Our podcast dives deep into each case. Our storytelling will make you feel like you're right there within the case with us, watching it all play out, and we do not shy away from the graphic details. If you're a fan of true crime, then listen to Murder in America on Spotify now.